So I would just ask you to pray for them. So with that aside, I want to talk about something that I've kind of been thinking about a little bit, actually a lot, I should say, over the past little while. I've been doing devotions at Hope Valley every Tuesday night, and I've kind of been going through some of the, you know, there's a lot of people there kind of put in some sort of a leadership role, right? So I've been kind of going over with them some of the qualities that we find of a good, a godly leader in Scripture, and what makes a godly leader, and what are some of those attributes that kind of set a godly leader apart from a worldly leader, and not even just that, but just good leadership in general, but specifically, you know, ways we can tie it into Scripture, and one of those things that kind of, maybe the biggest one I've talked about so far, I talked about it a little while ago with them, is pride and humility, and those two completely opposite things. I do want to go to a passage here in a couple minutes, and we'll kind of, you know, go from there, but I've just been thinking about this a lot, because pride is one of those things, it's probably one of the most detrimental things that could ever enter into our lives. It really, from pride stems a lot of issues, and I mean, in one sense or another, even talking about the stuff with Planned Parenthood, the atrocities, a lot of that could, you know, in one way or another, be linked back to the pride, and especially looking at it as a nation, you know, in a nation's pride. Well, now this is something we do, you know, we stand for these rights of these people to abort these babies, and it becomes a pride issue at one point or another. And pride can stem into all kinds of different areas of our lives, and not just politics or whatever, definitely in politics. There's a lot of pride in politics, but in our own personal lives, in our ministry, in the church, and wherever we are at work, wherever it is, pride can kind of sneak in, and maybe it doesn't even sneak in. Sometimes it just bulldozes its way through our lives, and it's there, and we have a hard time dealing with it. But it's really a really counter-scriptural attitude, right? I don't think that's something new for any of us to learn. Pride is something that's very detrimental to our lives as Christians, something that really kind of hinders us from having a close relationship with God in the way that he wanted to have a relationship with us, in the way that he wants to have a relationship with us. We forget about, you know, about this idea of being humble. We forget about the idea of humility, and we focus on ourselves, and we try to do things for ourselves, and we just put the big emphasis on me. It's all about me. I want to go to John chapter 3 and verse 22. So at this time, John chapter 3, verse 22, there's two very powerful ministries going on in this time frame, which I'm sure you're very well aware of. On the one hand, you have Jesus and his disciples going around and baptizing people, and on the other hand, you have John the Baptist and his disciples going around and baptizing people as well. And we kind of come to an interesting dialogue that John has with some of John the Baptist has with some of his disciples, and it starts in chapter 3, verse 22. It says, "Then Jesus and his disciples left Jerusalem and went into the Judean countryside. Jesus spent some time with them there, baptizing people. At this time, John the Baptist was baptizing at Aenon and near Salim, because there was plenty of water there, and people kept coming to him for baptism. This was before John was thrown into prison. A debate broke out between John's disciples and a certain Jew over ceremonial cleansing. So John's disciples came to him and said, 'Rabbi, the man you met on the other side of the Jordan River, the one you identified as the Messiah, is also baptizing people, and everybody is going to him instead of coming to us.' John replied, 'No one can receive anything unless God gives it from heaven. You yourselves know how plainly I told you, I am not the Messiah. I am only here to prepare the way for him. It is the bridegroom who marries the bride, and the best man is simply glad to stand with him and hear his vows. Therefore, I am filled with joy at his success. He must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. He has come from above and is greater than anyone else. We are of the earth, and we speak of earthly things, but he has come from heaven and is greater than anyone else.'" Again, like John has this kind of a little bit of a dialogue with some of his disciples, because they're arguing with a certain Jew here, or Jews, as another way it's translated sometimes. So whether it's one or many, it really makes little difference to the context. But they're talking about cleansing, and I suppose they don't, you know, he doesn't elaborate a whole lot about what the ceremonial cleansing is, but we can only assume, given the context, that they're talking about, you know, Jewish cleansing ceremonies in relation to baptism and the correlation between those two. And maybe it was about which was superior and which wasn't. But either way, they were talking about this idea of baptism. They were talking about cleansing. And eventually they got to kind of thinking, well, about Jesus and his disciples versus John and his disciples and what they, you know, the two groups were doing. And you know, they're seeing Jesus over here, and he's getting more and more people coming to him to be baptized. And meanwhile, John is also trying to baptize people. And his disciples kind of look at them, they're like, well, you know, John, Rabbi, why are they all going to him? Why aren't they coming to you too? Aren't you supposed to be like a great prophet or something? You know, why do they all go for Jesus and his disciples when you're doing the same thing over here? They get this, again, I kind of get the sense from this passage that they kind of have pride on John's behalf here for John. They're thinking of John in the wrong way here. They're looking at his ministry and they're comparing it against Jesus' ministry, and they're looking at it as, you know, a us versus him kind of thing. And they're like, well, you know, we baptize people too. We have this great ministry that's going on. We're seeing people, you know, coming to us and you know, turning from their sins and going into the waters of baptism. So why does, you know, Jesus get all the business when we offer the same thing here? And it becomes a little bit of a, from what I can tell anyway, a little bit of a proudful kind of thought that they have. Again, pitching, you know, this baptism that John is doing versus what Jesus is. But they're missing the point, and I think we all realize that. You know, it's not about John's baptism versus Jesus. John himself admitted, no, you guys have this wrong. I'm simply here to prepare his way. I'm simply here to be the one who comes before to prepare people for the message that Jesus will bring them. Jesus is not, you know, he doesn't have a ministry that's opposing my ministry. His ministry is complementing and fulfilling mine. My ministry has led into his, and now he's taking his responsibility, you might say, as his purpose to coming to earth, and he's going and baptizing people. His disciples are baptizing people as well. And John says, you know, it's not about the fact that I'm not getting all these people baptized anymore. It's about the fact that Jesus was the one who was going to be doing it all along anyway. It's about him. This ministry from the beginning was never about me, John the Baptist. It was about Jesus Christ. It was about him. It wasn't about my ministry. It was about his ministry. And it's not about me. It's about him. So we can see from that humility really stems from an understanding of where we stand as humanity in relation to our great and powerful God. You know, he's God, and I think we can all agree and understand that he's greater than us. His thoughts are beyond us. He is beyond us. He's great and powerful and almighty. He's our creator. And that very thought, when we think of ourselves as humans, just as John did, you know, realizing that Jesus was the Christ, he is God in the flesh. When he realized that, he's like, no, it's, you know, when we see the greatness of God, it should cause in our hearts an attitude of humility. That's where humility should stem from, is that realization that it's not us, it's him. And there, our ministry on earth is not for us, but for him. John says that he must become greater and greater, and I must become lesser and lesser. He must increase, I must decrease. John, I don't think John here at all was trying to belittle himself. He wasn't certainly looking at his ministry as pointless, but as a complement to Jesus' ministry. But he realized that even though he had this incredible opportunity to come before Christ and baptize people, it was still ultimately not about him. And Christ should be magnified through what he was doing. And ultimately, he should become lesser. And what he's doing should just simply magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. So that, again, humility stems from an understanding of where we stand before our Almighty God, of who we are before him. It should make us have this idea of, or this attitude of humility. It should make us feel very small, actually. I mean, Again, not that what we do on this earth is pointless. That's not the point. But that what we do on this earth should ultimately be for His glory and for His outcome, not for our own personal gain. So the second kind of thing that I see from this is in relation to ministry. our success in ministry should be governed by humility as well, and how we view a successful ministry should stem from a humble mindset, from a mindset of humility before God. People can go out, and some people do, and some Christians over history have in the past wrongfully set out to go and do something, maybe even to witness to people, maybe to start churches, maybe to serve the poor, maybe to whatever they're going to do. They've set out with a wrong mindset. They go thinking that, because I'm doing this, people are going to recognize me, and they're going to see that I've given myself to the Lord. I've given my life to the Lord, and I'm so great. I went and I gave up my entire life to serve Him, and people are going to recognize me for that. But that's not, according to Scripture, what a successful ministry is. A successful ministry is born in humility. The ministry of our church, of our lives, our marriages, our families, everything—it's built in humility. It should be built in humility. The success of those things are very much bound to our humility. And we see a lot of issues in various parts of our lives, in churches and marriages and families, where they're kind of broken up because of pride sneaks in, and pride takes hold of our lives, and we lose this focus on humility and where we should be before not just simply before each other and putting others' needs beyond ours, but before God. We kind of get proud before Him, and sometimes we even take a stance with Him and say, well, God, I'm living so much for You that You should probably be blessing me right now, and that's just, again, it's very very much contrary to what we're taught in Scripture. We should have an attitude of humility. We should set out without the goal of being somebody made into this great image of greatness, but rather to simply be an example of that humility that Christ Himself had in going to the cross, not even leading up to the cross. He didn't go around parading it to people that He was this. He was this big great thing that was going to happen. He didn't do that. He proclaimed what He was doing and the outcome that would happen, and that's incredible, right? But His attitude was not that of pride. It was humility. He was humble. He was meek. And so we too ought to be meek as well. We should be people who live a life of humility, who show humility in our conversations with each other as fellow brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, in our lives, in our leadership, in whatever we've been placed in. We should be trying our best to live this attitude of humility out in a very real way. It should be our goal to be able to say of ourselves that He must increase and I must decrease. And that's a really, really difficult thing to do. I don't think any of us in this room would be able to honestly say that it comes naturally to be humble. It's quite the contrary of that, actually. Because we're born into sin, it's not our nature to be humble. It's not our nature to be to live in humility. It's just not in our nature. But by the grace of God, because He has bought us from sin, He has saved us from sin, He's given us the ability to not be slave to that anymore. We don't have to live a proud life. We have a choice now. We have power to overcome that sin in our lives. And by His grace, we can. We can live a life that shows this humility to the world. We can live a life that glorifies God and takes the focus from us and gives it to Him. We can have a ministry that takes that emphasis off of us and what we're doing and all the sacrifices we're making and puts it all on God and the sacrifice that He made for us to begin with. That's what it's all about. That's what John wanted to point out to even his disciples who might have been a little bit confused on this. And maybe they were just concerned about John, and maybe they didn't quite understand that. Whatever the reason, John understood from the beginning that his end game was not to be glorified. His end game wasn't to be remembered as this incredible person who came before the Lord and declared him in the wilderness. That wasn't his end game, to be known as this great prophet. Although he's referred to as the greatest prophet, is interestingly enough. But he had this other attitude where, no, it's not about me, it's about him. It's about God. He must increase and I must decrease. And it's up to us to live that out in our lives every single day. Whether we're at work or at school or, wherever we are. Whether it's just talking with each other or not. Maybe sharing with people. Maybe talking about our ministry that we're involved in. Maybe it's whatever it is. We have to live this out. It's our responsibility as Christians, as followers of Christ, to live out our lives in humility before God. To take that emphasis off of us and to place it on Him alone. To give Him the glory, to give Him the praise, because it all belongs to Him. We're saved because of Him. We owe our lives to Him. Sometimes we forget that as Christians. We're saved from sin. We're saved from eternal damnation. We're saved from so many things that we used to live in. And sometimes we kind of forget that. We forget where we've been saved out of. when we gave our life to Christ, there were some implications that came along with that. It's not just a free ride from here. It's not just a free ticket into heaven. I mean, we believe that our salvation is secure, but sometimes maybe that gets to our head, and we forget that we still have a responsibility as God's people on this earth to live out for Him, and this is part of humility. Realizing that, there's not a lot in us that deserves the favor of God. There's not anything in us that deserves the favor of God, but He's given it anyway, and that's the beauty of grace. And because of grace, we can live in humility. We can be servants of God, and we don't have to be bound to pride. That's a thing of the past. That's of the old nature. That's done away with. Christ has dealt with that on the cross, and we can live in humility before God. We can serve Him in humility and sincerity, and we can live for Him and praise God for that. We have the ability to do it because of what Christ did on the cross. So my challenge to each one of you, and to myself especially, is, as we leave here, as we, read the scriptures, as we go into our lives, as we especially go into our ministries, in whatever ministry that we're involved in, we should look at ourselves and ask ourselves, has pride had a chance to sneak in here? When I go to help out at this ministry, am I expecting some sort of recognition for this? Am I doing it for the right reasons? Am I doing it for God, or am I doing it for me? Because the emphasis, again, needs to go from me to Him. It's all about Him. Everything is about Him. Everything we do as Christians should ultimately come back to wanting to give glory to our God and our Savior. So that's my challenge to you. I hope that does challenge you, and also encourage you to want to live in humility. And maybe you already do a great job of that, and praise God if you do. I know I struggle with it. I'm not going to lie about that. I think we all do if we're honest with ourselves. But God wants us to be humble. He's called us to be humble. He's given us reasons to be humble. He's given us the ability to live humbly, but it's up to us what we do with what He's given us, isn't it? I mean, it's the same with anything. It's really up to us how we are going to live our lives before Him. Are we going to live for Him, or are we going to live for ourselves? Because humility is really rooted in that. What are we living for? What are we striving for? Are we striving for self, or are we striving for others and for Christ, and to live out a life for Him? So I'll just leave that with you. That's all I have. I can't really actually see the clock, to be honest, but I'm just going to pray, and we'll just leave it at that. God, I thank You for just the fact that You're patient with us. Lord, we slip and we fall, we fail consistently all the time. We do really well for a little while sometimes, and then we just slip right back into sin, especially with pride, Father. It's so easy sometimes. Maybe we have knowledge, maybe we have fame or fortune, whatever it is, sometimes it's really easy to fall into a mindset that's just putting the emphasis on that, putting the emphasis on ourselves. And Lord, we just want to get away from that. We want you to change our hearts, make us more like you. Father, put the emphasis on yourself and take it from us. Lord, I just pray that you would just give us just this attitude of humility in our lives every day. We need it. And I pray that that it would seep not just into our personal lives, but into our work and into wherever we are, into our friendships, into our ministries. Father, I pray that you would just help us with this. We need it. We so desperately need your help. And I just pray that you would give us the ability to follow you in the way that you've asked us to. Lord, we know that you're gracious. We know that you will help us. And Father, I pray that we would not hesitate to ask when we recognize that we're stumbling in these areas, because we do fail a lot. And Father, I pray that you would just give us the strength to get back up and keep trying again to live for you, Father, to just stay in your word, reading about these things, learning about these things, praying to you, Father, just crying out to you for help when we need it, Lord, because we need it all the time. So, Lord, we just commit ourselves into your hands. Father, I pray that you would just be gracious with us, Father, and that you would help us, and that we would rely on you for this, Father, not on ourselves, and that we would help each other in this, Father, and edify each other and exhort each other, Father, today, while it is still called today. Father, I just pray that you would give us all patience as well as we learn these things, that we would just continue moving towards them, and that we would just become better followers of you, Lord. So thank you, Father. Thank you for your Son who has made the way for salvation. Thank you that we can come to you, Father, empty sinners, and you fill us up with your Spirit, Father. Thank you for that. And I just pray that you would just continue to just bless our walks with you, Father. Not with the physical, tangible things, Father, but with spiritual blessings, Father. That you would fill our lives with a love for you and a love for others, and that you would just change us and mold us into the people you want us to be. So we commit ourselves into your hands in Jesus' name.